And to be honest with you, and I think that this kind of is where I diverge from a lot of other people, particularly feminists as well, is that I just simply don't think that biological men should be on a female panel talking about women's rights. And I don't like the fact that it has become this thing socially where being unhealthy is the new healthy. That's so, it's so clown world. It's so backwards.
Welcome to another deep dive edition of the Chicks on the Right podcast. Very, very excited because we have a wonderful guest with us today. I'm going to refer to you as Dr. Sydney Watson, which I also want the story about that too. But Sydney, you have been a longtime follow of ours on Twitter. We have watched your work with a lot of admiration for a long time, but it was a recent appearance that you made on a Vice panel about feminism that really caught our attention and the attention of so many other folks on Twitter. We're about to talk to Sydney Watson, who is younger than us.
Right. And so every time we interview these people that have like this super supple skin, what it does is it makes me slather on even more Genucel. Because it works. It works.
It does work. And it, at least it gives us a slight advantage for our age, right?
Yeah.
Especially this new product that they have that is now included in the most popular package, which is, by the way, 70% off. This microbiome probiotic moisturizer. Amazing.
Every morning I use it.
The consistency. Yeah. And the texture of it. I don't know the magic. I don't claim to know how they make it feel so good, but it really has amazing, moisturizing, lasting, dewy magic. Yeah. And it's now included in their most popular package, which is amazing. If you want to try it, you should go to genucel.com/chicks. And when you enter code chicks at checkout, you get an extra 10% off your entire purchase. Whatever you buy, you're going to get an extra 10% off. genucel.com/chicks. It's amazing. We want to know how that panel came to be because you and Pearl were like rock stars of that panel. We want to hear all the dirt about some of the other guests, how that panel came to be, and what the reaction has been since.
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. This is really exciting because I've actually read your blog for a little while. So there is that.
Oh, nice. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's and nice. It's like mutual love happening. So the Vice panel kind of came to fruition, I suppose, because they just reached out. And they said, would you like to participate on this feminism panel? And I was like, I'm actually leaving to go back home to Australia in like, you know, a week after they were going to have it or a couple of days after. So I was like, yeah, we're cutting it fine, but let's do it. That sounds like a good idea. So we went through the whole process of them calling me and in a sense, I guess, interviewing me, asking me all these questions about my opinions. And I thought maybe I'm going to be like the most right wing person on the panel. And I'm not sure that that actually turned out to be the case, which kind of makes me laugh a little bit. But they flew me out to New York. And I, you know, stayed in, I guess, you know, the weird part of Brooklyn. Have you guys been to New York recently? Everyone's a thespian.
Yes. Not recently.
Did I like not get
not
the
recently,
memo? That,
but yes, we've been.
Yeah. Everyone's a thespian. What is that? It smells like urine and everyone, I don't know, they all wear beanies in summertime. It's like, did I, anyway.
Yeah. I absolutely loathe New York. I'm probably like one of the few people that I hate when people say, like our PR guy will be like, hey, you guys need to go to New York. And I'm like, oh my, I will do anything. I'd rather stab myself in the face with forks than go to New York. I just hate it. I hate that place, but
it's terrible.
People will fight me on it. They're like, it's cultural. It's great. The people are great. And the restaurants and blah. And I'm like, oh my God.
No, it's dirty. And the people look dirty too. I mean, I was on a phone call with my boyfriend, walking to actually get some food because the place that I was staying in didn't have like really any, you know, restaurants or anything. You know how most hotels kind of have like inbuilt places you can go and eat at and what have you? None of that. So I was like, all right, cool. And I'm walking up the street to go and get some food that I'd ordered, which mind you, significantly overpriced. Like New Yorkers, your food's not that good. I'm going to need you to sit down just a little bit. Like just cool your jets. I jump in an elevator and my phone goes dead. And then, you know, the call drops with my boyfriend and then I get this barrage of messages afterwards going, are you okay? I'm like, no, I've been murdered by a thespian in the street. Oh no. That was not a funny joke. He was very upset. But, you know, that's how it feels. You feel like you're going to get shivved and you're like, I'm not even in prison. What's happening? So,
yeah, it's, exactly.
It's not a good time. Anyway, sorry, I digress. Anyway, I fly to New York.
It's true. It's so true.
Which was fine. You know, New York is whatever. I don't know why people live there, but that's fine. What was so humorous to me is that in order to get into the studio, you actually had to have a vaccine requirement, vaccine card, whatever. And for me, because I'm not vaccinated, and this is something that I found very amusing doing a lot of studio work recently with some of these, you know, bigger studio spaces. Like when I went to LA, that was a really interesting experience because same thing, they had a requirement. So I had to jump through a bunch of hoops to get, you know, a test done to show I had antibodies and the whole thing. So I had to go and get a blood test. It was really fun. Blood is weird.
Did they shame you? Did they like completely shame you? And you were like, no, I'm not back.
No, Vice was lovely. Even the LA experience that I had, that no one shamed me. They were just like, this is the protocol. Please just do this, basically. So what was so interesting, and at first I didn't want to say this about the Vice thing because they have so much footage now. And I think if I make them cross, am I going to get some like edited together thing where I'm saying I eat babies because they've edited it that way? Like, is that going to... Like, who's to say? I don't know. So, but you know what? They did me dirty with this whole thing. They tried to copyright claim the video that I made about my Vice experience, which...
Oh, my God.
What's happened? They've just been butts. They've been butts. So, I don't feel bad saying this. Anyway, they had this requirement. You must be vaccinated to get into the studio. So be it. So, what I did was I filled out one of their exemptions. And so, they had a medical exemption and a religious exemption. I'm a fairly well-known human of the atheistic description. I don't believe in... I don't follow a religion. So I'm thinking, what possibly could I fill out that relates to me being an atheist that means that I, you know, to fill out this exemption? So I told them that I believe in, you know, some Chinese doctrine about, you know, Wei Wu, because I can't put things in my body because I have to be the way of water. Like, I just fill this thing out. Oh, they approve it immediately.
Oh my gosh.
And then they say, that's great. You use this to get into the building. So fast forward, now I'm back in Thespian, New York. I'm trying to get into the building and security won't let me in because they're like, you're not vaxxed. And I'm like, no, I have an exemption. And they're like, no, we can't take this. And I'm like, you approved that. You filled this out. I'm showing you a form that has your writing on it. I didn't do this.
Oh my gosh.
You think I just carry around exemptions with me? I just walk into buildings. Oh, I'm exempt. This is fine. No, this is your exemption. It's got your writing on it. So they were just not cool about that. Eventually they were like, no, oh my God, this is fine, you can come in. And then we had to do all the mask wearing and stuff, which I just didn't do because I'm like, I don't
oh my goodness
play
so
that.
when you get into the studio and you're with all of these, do they put you in a room before you get on the panel? Because I've always wondered about that. Are you shoved in a room like Big Brother with all of these girls? Like, I'm sorry, all of these individuals. I don't want to say girls, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say girls because people will get mad at me for saying girls. So you're like shoved in a room with all of these individuals, like, and you're forced to talk to one another, and it's super awkward.
100%. So
my God.
It's almost like a green room.
That's so weird.
I've been in some where they've separated you into individual sort of pods, if you will. I don't know a better way to describe it than pods. But they do separate you sometimes, but this is one where they popped us all into the same room together. And now some of us knew who each other was. So for example, I knew who Eli Ehrlich was. And I already had some opinions about that. And there was another girl there who's a big gun advocate called Antonia, I believe. But I was very familiar with her as well. And so you sort of know each other, but you don't. You're not at the point where you're prepared to say anything, especially if you don't like somebody. And it was interesting because beforehand we were all sort of talking, and I was saying, and this is actually something that I found very interesting about this panel, is that I have historically always been sort of in the men's rights space, where I've talked a lot about, you know, the issues with fatherlessness and, you know, the ways that parenthood perhaps is being sort of undermined and whatnot. I've talked a lot about these issues because I really care about these things, because I always felt like the female side of things was more or less kind of covered. You know, the feminists were doing an okay-ish job, I suppose, in some capacity, with at least the things that I agree with. So this was the first time I was going into something thinking, oh no, I significantly care about the female issues that we're about to discuss. And also I was feeling a little bit warmer towards feminists because of some experiences that I had in 2022 that sort of made me see things a little bit more from their vantage point, when previously I just simply hadn't. So we were all sort of lamenting, talking about different things, bits and pieces. And then they situate us on the set, and that's when all hell broke loose. So that's what you all came to watch, a very watered down version.
Did you have time with them before they started recording, or did they just immediately start recording?
Well, they tend to put you in place. So they moved us around a bunch. And I suppose that was put the tallest of us in the back and the shorter ones in the front. So they moved us around a whole heap, and then they do, I'm pretty sure actually at the end they filmed all the shots of us coming in. They always do this, all these like little glamour shots where you're standing there looking sort of stoic and off into the distance, like you're wistful, have something useful to say. But no, they sort of, we mucked around maybe for an hour or so, just trying to get all the positioning and mic'd up and everything. And then we really filmed, I think we filmed probably for about 4 or 5, maybe even 6 hours. We were there for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what's one of the things that like you said that you were glad that you said that maybe got cut? Like what's some of the stuff that didn't make the final version?
So we had a conversation about transgender children, which I feel quite strongly about. And that's something that I talk about a lot on my channel even. We talked quite a lot about biological men in women's spaces, which once again, we had two biological men on the panel, one of whom was very nice. So it's sad because I don't agree with that, with the way that things are going at all, but I can at least respect Jordan, who was sitting next to me, and I feel bad for Jordan. I feel bad for, you know, it must be very, very awful to be in a body that you don't think is your own. Like that has to be a very challenging thing, but it doesn't mean I have to necessarily agree with all the things that these people had to say. And to be honest with you, and I think that this kind of is where I diverge from a lot of other people, particularly feminists as well, is that I just simply don't think that biological men should be on a female panel talking about women's rights. I just don't. Because how on earth...
That's not out there. You would think that that's like not a crazy point of view. And, it kind of is. That's what you're made to feel like.
I mean, it's kind of strange because in a way, people won't reconcile the fact that a biological man really doesn't have any significant meaningful experiences or thoughts to offer to a conversation pertaining, like I said, exclusively to female experiences. I mean, they can talk about feminism overall. Like they can talk about how feminism affects society. Fine, fair call. But because that's something that you don't need to have a singular female experience to have an opinion on. But these other things, I just think, well, you just don't know because you just don't know. You just simply will never know. So I think one very funny part that they did cut from the footage was Eli Ehrlich had turned to one of the young ladies who was sitting in the front, whose name is Layla, who's also a conservative. And she didn't get a lot of airtime, which I thought was quite sad because Layla is a very clever girl. And I agreed with a lot of what she had to say. But Eli at one point, and Eli, like I said, is a biological man, turns to Layla and says, "Tell me I'm a man." And I just, all of us, when we were talking about it afterwards, just wish that one of us had just said, "You are, sir."
Who was the one with the maniacal laughter that like was jingle jangles? So,
I think you called her lovingly, was my favorite, jingle jangles, because of all the crap on her shirt.
What were they, coins?
Do you remember all the crap on her shirt?
Is that how she, like, you know, pays to for the removal of barriers? I don't know.
Right, it was. I know, I noticed
what
that too.
A loon that woman was.
She lost. She went off chops, like off chops on Instagram. Because so I have a general rule. Because I have a decently sized audience, I do not tag people if they're like kind of a layman in a sense. Because I don't think it's right to instigate pylons. I've been on the receiving end of pylons. I can handle it because, you know, I feel like my feelings shriveled up and died being in this space. So it's just like, okay, this is just another one, par for the course. But, you know, a lot of people simply can't handle that. And I just simply don't want to be a human being who is instructing a legion of people to go after somebody. So I don't tag these people. So I made a point of not tagging these individuals in my commentary about the issue because I knew that what they'd done had incensed a lot of people, and I knew that it wouldn't end well for them. So she was, Jingle Jangles was losing her ever loving mind on Instagram and tagging me in these like just unhinged rants.
Oh
and
my
things.
Gosh.
And
she experienced violence.
She experienced, I don't know if you knew that. Violence.
She said that. Yes. She did not say that, really.
Yes, she did.
Yes. Yes. So, for anyone who's, you know, not seen it, which the clip is everywhere now, which humorously I said to Pearl actually after the whole thing, she phoned me and she was just like, "Oh my God, it's outlaw." And I said, "Yeah, nothing in this is super viral though." It's, which makes me, you know, if you're going to do something like this, you do in a way always want to have viral moments, if it really has gone to absolute shit like this had, you know, if it was a meaningful conversation, then fine, you don't need anything viral, but this had obviously devolved and it's like, well, you kind of want to get your money's worth, don't you? So that clip ended up going viral and it's just this unhinged lady just shouting at me. Why do I always get shouted at, actually? This is saying that... I don't know. It's just, this is like my life.
It's nuts.
I got shouted out by Jack Murphy on You Are Here, and I get shouted out by Jingle Jangles. It's like, oh, it's just my life now, I guess.
Oh my God.
Everybody's crazy not to have MyPillow bedding on their bed when everything that they make for your bed enhances sleep like nobody's business. I don't care if it's the mattresses, the mattress pads, the sheets, which the Giza Dream sheets, oh my God, don't
it's
even
like being
get me
in
started.
A spa. My whole bed is like being in a spa because I have all the MyPillow everywhere. Oh my God. My bed is my favorite place in the house. I never want to leave it. The best.
It's glorious. Mm-hmm. And it's so nice to promote and be fans of a company where no matter what we order from them, we're like, holy crap, the quality is amazing.
Yeah, it's the best. It really
is. It's just perfect. Mm-hmm. And right now they still have their New Year's specials going on, which means that all the bedding that we just talked about, like blankets, pillows, comforters, all of it, all their bedding is on mega, mega sale. The Dream, the Giza Dream Sheets too, you can get a twin set for less than $30 right now. Amazing deals while quantities last. So you want to hurry and stock up right now at mypillow.com/chicks.
Chicks.
And then use promo code CHICKS to get even bigger discounts. MyPillow.com/chicks.
So I'm always curious about people's backgrounds because mm-hmm. I have our middle kid is your age. Mm-hmm. And so I have two older kids and I have one that's been getting ready to turn 13. Aww. And so we have a 33-year-old, a 28-year-old, and then I think you're about 28, aren't you? You're like, oh, well, no, you're closing in on 30. You're closing in on 30, aren't you?
Yeah,
something like that. I think because you're a 1993 baby.
Like
I'm sorry, is that right? 1993
well, it
baby.
It should be
is
an
right?
internet secret. I don't know how people have found this out. Yes, no, I'm the big 30 this year. I'm like, I don't like that.
I Wikipedia people, and it may not be accurate because Lord knows the things on Wikipedia said about us a long time ago probably weren't always true.
It's true, yeah.
But you're probably around the same age as like our middle kid. And so I'm just fascinated by the fact that you have escaped the mentality that a lot of, I say younger people, because we're old, so I can say that, but a lot of younger people have fallen into, and that is like this woke, you know, like, oh my God, I'm a victim because I'm the patriarchy and all the stuff that like the women nowadays, you know, fall into because we've seen it. I mean, I'm 51. And so we've seen women over the past several decades sort of, I don't want to say degrade, but just the ideology of feminism. Like we just think feminism is a complete and utter joke now because now it's like free the nipple and don't look at my boobs, but look at my boobs, but don't, but do. And it's like, we've had many discussions on our podcast about feminism and just what it's turned into. And I'm just fascinated when I see women like you, because I'm like, God, how did she, like, where do you come from? And how are you not like all these other girls like that? Cause you're an anomaly, right? You're the exception to what everybody else is. And how did that happen?
I like my dad.
And then also explain when you became a doctor.
Right.
Well, in answer to the first question, like unironically, I really like my dad. I don't know. He and I just get on really well. And I think that I've had really, really awesome, strong parental role models. So my parents are, it's kind of funny. They're very traditional, but not traditional. So the way that they have, I guess, structured their household has given me a really good example of what it looks like when you have people who can simultaneously fit into that sort of traditional structure of a family unit, but also both be business owning, very driven, goal oriented human beings. And my mom is like, I probably can't swear on your show, but
no, you can swear. We swear all the
she's
time.
She's a badass. Like she's just so cool. And I think that that's probably the person that I have had to look up to my whole life. So really in my house, there was absolutely no way that I was going to get away with being like a raging wokester because I think my family would have just mocked me until I decided to stop. I mean, I think that it's just in part, like I said, due to good parenting, having strong figures around me, but also, I think that I don't like the tribalism that comes along with a lot of this type of stuff. I think that where I diverge, once again, from a lot of other people who are my age and a lot of other women, is the fact that I look at things from sort of like this top-down perspective, that where I say, how would society function if we had this utopian feminist society? And I don't think it would function too well. I don't want to see the boogeyman behind every corner. I don't want to view every man through the lens of, oh, he's, you know, going to potentially be somebody who's harmful, yada yada. And I think that you've got to take experiences as they come. So like I said, in 2022, that was a fundamentally distressing year for me, a pivotal year. A lot of my opinions changed, or a lot of my opinions were sort of, they become a lot more nuanced. And so now, like I said, I do see some things from the feminist vantage point when I hadn't previously, but it doesn't mean that I throw out the entire, you know, the baby with the bathwater type of thing. I'm not going to throw everything away, because now I kind of get why they're right in some respects. So I think, I don't know. I guess I just try to be a human being that's like nice to other people. And if that means that I'm not a crazy woke feminist, then so be it. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that, because I've always just sort of not done what other people think.
No, I think that was a great answer. Yeah. I think, and you can tell, like, your parents probably held you accountable.
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
And if you have, right. I think that's a huge part of it. From a parental perspective, just hearing that answer. No, it was a great answer. No, that answers a lot for me. I think it really does. And just having a strong both male and female role model in your life, that's your parents, for Christ's sake. Yeah.
It makes such a difference.
It really does.
It makes such a huge difference.
It really does.
Still need to know where you got the doctor title.
So yeah, because I do a lot of coverage of child safeguarding and child safety measures, it's led me to meet some really, really interesting people who also function much more heavily in the space, in that space. And there was one professor in particular who I mentioned. I covered some of his work in one of the videos that I made about, I believe it was, there's an organization called Prostasia, and they style themselves as a child safeguarding organization, but really they're kind of a front for pedophilia, which is really sad. And it's so gross, actually, because a lot of people look to them as sort of the organization to emulate when it comes to all of this. Like, oh, look at these people. These are the virtuous pedophiles that don't offend. When in reality, I'm pretty sure their manager is like an unapologetic, yes, I'm attracted to kids. Yes, I'm going to always be attracted to kids, and basically, you know, suck it type of thing. So
one of
the guys who is covering this, this professor, who I don't know if he would like me naming him, so I guess I won't, but he's awesome. He does really great work. He reached out to me and he was like, oh, you know, hey, we ended up connecting, and he's super funny. I believe he studied actually at the same university as me in Melbourne. So that's really cool. And he said, you know, it's my life goal to see you become a doctor. And I was like, oh yeah, why is that? And he's like, I don't know, just everyone has to call you Dr. Watson. So he was actually the one who submitted me for an honorary doctorate with the work that I do in regards to child safeguarding and whatnot. And yes, that's it.
So you're Dr. Sydney
Watson.
It's
kind of like a meme.
I love it.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, it's funny because when people try to discredit it, they can't, because it's technically correct. And for me, it's just hilarious. You know, I just get to force people to call me that. And then it's funny because once again, after this Vice panel, you do have the backing and forthing with the people that were on the panel, especially Eli, who, you know, to Eli's credit, as much as I don't like Eli and Eli peddles drugs and what have you, Eli can handle it, at least like when you're backing and forthing on the internet, which I respect that. And Eli tried to be like, oh, this person is pretending to be a doctor. Vice, do you know this person is pretending to be a doctor? I'm like, does Vice know what you're pretending to be, Eli? So curiosity.
Perfect.
But you know, it definitely ruffles feathers. It's very funny whenever people write articles about me when I do things that are inflammatory and they say Dr. Watson, and I say yes.
Yes. I love that. I think it's great.
So that's a very unexciting story behind the doctor thing. The very non-exciting story.
I love it.
Well, you got to tell us about the whole airplane fiasco, because this also got you a lot of attention. This was last year, right? Sometime last year?
Yes, this was October. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So give people the background for those folks who haven't heard about your miserable flight experience and why it became such a huge story. Give them the background.
So actually, that was the flight coming home from New York. And I had to be on this specific flight because I needed to get back. Because like I said, I was flying back to Australia in like 2 days. So I really didn't have any sort of wiggle room on the issue. So anyway, so I jump on my flight and I'm trottling on down to the back of the plane, and I see these two very large humans, and I'm in the middle seat. And I thought, no, this is, I refuse. I don't want to. So I just thought I'll be polite. So I sat down. And the thing that killed me was that behind me in the final row were these like group of like kind of cute, like foreign, like, I don't know, Eastern European sounding boys. And I was like, you have to be kidding me. Like, this is not happening to me right now. I'm going to sit between two behemoth humans and be squished while these cute boys behind me are like, ha, 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 probably watching this, just thinking, this is what you get, lady. So I'm screaming internally as soon as I sit down. And the trouble was that it was a full flight. So a lot of people have said to me, why didn't you get an aisle seat? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Well, I had to be on the flight. There was no other seats available, because then basically what happened was, you know, I'm sitting on the plane for 3.5-4 hours, because that's how long it takes to get back to Texas. And the air hostesses, or what, the air host, is that what the male ones are called? I don't know. Do they have a specific
flight attendant?
Yes. Is walking past me every so often, leaning in. Do you need anything? Whiskey. I don't know. Help. I'm just, I've got the white flag waving. So anyway, he was very kind. He kept leaning over and saying, do you need any help? And I'm sitting here, like, people need to understand, like, I'm wedged between this very obese person on the window seat and the very obese person in the aisle seat. And to the
were
point
they
where,
together?
Yes, they were. They were siblings. Because at one stage, because people kept saying afterwards, after the story blew up, they said, Sydney, why didn't you ask to swap? And I did. I turned to the man, and because I believe his sister had headphones in. And so I turned to him and I said, do you want to swap seats? And he goes, no, that's my sister. I sit next to her all the time. And I was like, yes, but I don't. And I don't particularly want to. So so he wouldn't swap seats with me, which kind of sucked. And then I started rage tweeting, just because I was like, for God's sake. Because these things, it's so funny. I fly a lot. And these things do happen, right? You sit next to the smelly person, or the person who's encroaching upon your space because their legs keep drifting over into your space. Fine. You know, I think that that's sort of, you sign a social contract in a way when you go out into public, and you can expect these things to happen. And most people are very kind about it. And they'll be like, oh my God, they're horrified to know that they're doing these things. Whereas these people just didn't seem to care. And so I thought, well, if you don't care, then I don't care. So I'm rage tweeting, and my followers are just loving it. They are having the greatest time. They're like sitting, this is the funniest thing I've ever read. And I'm trying to take photos, not because I wanted to shame anybody. Like, jokes aside, I really didn't want to shame anybody, but I wanted to demonstrate what was happening, because everyone on Twitter goes, that didn't happen, I don't believe you. Well, I have picture evidence. I have pictorials of what was going on, and I wish that someone had taken a full photo.
You didn't take pictures of their faces. God, it wasn't their faces. It was just like their arms.
No, yeah, exactly.
And like, you know, like the kind of the rolls,
yeah,
on their
to
arms
show the arm rolls
that
were sort of, you right. know, moving yeah. over into my space.
Yeah,
I couldn't put the
space.
Armrest
yeah.
down. My legs were crushed together. And again, people didn't realize this, but I had hip surgery years ago because I'd torn a ligament and some cartilage. And so I have like really limited mobility on the right side of my body. And so if my hips are being squished like this, you know, my legs are being pressed in, the pain that causes me is actually quite significant. And so I'm sitting there for 3.5 hours, like wedged, leaning over, because if I was sitting back, my body was crushed. And if I sat forward, then I got a bit of space. Like I said, I'm just rage tweeting the whole time. And that went viral. And then as I'm flying out to go to Australia, I'm getting all these, like, I'm sitting at the airport getting requests for interview. And I'm like, oh my God. Not now. I'm about to get on a 16-hour flight.
and some people were mad about this.
Very
some
mad.
People were mad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's fat phobic, right? You can't say that about fat people, because we've like glorified the
obesity.
We've glorified obesity 100%. In this country. Because 30% of us, what, a third of us are obese now. And you can't, and we got to glorify that, because...
Yep.
You know, it's cool to be fat now.
Yeah, I mean,
it's cool.
The fat acceptance movement, I think, has a lot to answer for, because as a general rule, I don't disagree with feeling good in your own body. So in fact, I was just having a conversation with a girlfriend of mine last night who is beautiful. She's beautiful and she's extremely fit. She works out all the time. And she was saying to me that one of her biggest concerns is that she doesn't have cleavage. She has basically, she doesn't have a flat chest. I wouldn't say that at all, but she thinks that she has a flat chest and she's very self-conscious. And I was like, dude, you got two options, because you're not going to ever get implants, are you? She's like, no, they're so bad for you. I don't want that. And I said, great. So your other option besides implants then is just learning to like yourself. And if you can achieve that, I don't know what to tell you. So, I mean, this is the thing, is like, I've got no problem whatsoever with going, oh, am I short and I don't like it? but I'm going to accept it. Fine. Am I tall and I don't like it? Whatever. Like, accept things about yourself that you just fundamentally can't change, but you can change your body weight. And I don't like the fact that it has become this thing socially where being unhealthy is the new healthy. That's so, it's so right. clown world. It's so backwards that I think it's bizarre that we live in a period of time where if you're dieting and trying to ameliorate your life, people will be like, what are you, fatphobic? Are you racist? Because racism is grounded in fatphobia. Like, no, this person wants to actually live to see their kids grow up, you bloody potato. Right. So it's it's frustrating. And yes, I did get a lot of hate. I got so much hate mail.
Because you're so privileged. You're so privileged and thin.
I'm privileged, exactly. Right. And I'm a white, what am I, a white Australian that lives in a bubble? I'm so many things at this point.
You live in a bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you live in a bubble.
At the end of the day, like, do I feel bad for the people on the airplane? I don't, from the vantage point that they should have had to buy an extra seat. This is what made people so cross. Is my I guess, thesis was, these people should have to buy an extra seat or they shouldn't be allowed on the plane. And in fact, every airline has requirements for what you need to do with people who are extremely overweight. Mm-hmm. Because in the event of an emergency, in the event of, you say that you're sitting next to somebody who, like me, has, you know, issues and they need their actual space, that, you know, they have a hip problem or whatever, and they need to actually be in their bloody seat. I've paid for my seat. I didn't pay for half a seat. So yes, it's sad that the airlines don't enforce these policies, but greater than that, maybe we should be putting some emphasis on not letting people be balloon people. Just a thought.
Yeah, true.
Didn't you get you got some sort of restitution from the airline, did you not? Yes, how did that work out?
So I kept saying online, again, jokingly, because I don't think people understand Australian humor sometimes. I kept saying, I want reparations.
Oh, just, my God.
You know, and then these articles would pop up. Oh, Dr. Sydney Watson, Australian-American commentator, wants reparations for American Airlines. And I'm going, yeah, fine, let's just run with this. So I want reparations. God. And I have there's a clip of Tyrus on, I can't remember the show that he does on Fox, but he's like,
The Five.
Yes, he's like, give the girl the reparations. She, like, hell yeah, all power to her. And I'm like, I'm just kidding. But okay, yes, I want reparations. Anyway, so they ended up giving me $150 flight credit, which I was like, and then I took that and I tweeted and I said, I will sincerely, like, no joke, give this to somebody for a gym membership or for personal training. And then I get more hate articles written about me. Oh, she's mocking it.
Oh,
no,
my gosh.
I want people to be healthy. Stop eating seed oils, your potatoes. Good grief.
It's so funny. I mean, the rules are kind of absurd, though. It's so absurd because, like, you get on a plane and then they get so mad if you, like, have your seat back, like, that little inch. Mm-hmm. The stewardesses are, like, all pissed off and they're like, you got to get your seat, like, back up an inch. And then you're, like, drowning in two people and they don't see a problem with that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. You're like, seriously? Like, what?
I'm over here just like,
it is absurd.
Yeah. I did like that the flight attendants checked in. That was really kind of them because there was nothing that they could do. They even said at the end, they were so funny. One of the man who kept coming past and asking me if I needed anything, he said, I tried to find a child to swap with you. I tried to find a child. I was like, oh, so we sacrificed the children.
Okay, well, that's sweet.
Yeah, that was very nice. I was like, oh, and he said, you know, I was thinking to myself, what parent would just give you their kid?
Give their child up.
to be in the sweat factory.
I volunteer as tribute.
Yeah, exactly. So what was your traumatic episode in life? Well, it's these poor, I just feel bad for these kids, honestly. But they also said they would have given me free booze. I'm sad. I'm not a big drinker, but I think that was the situation where I may have been guzzling like the little tiny vodka bottles, just keep bringing them. Let's go, boys. But then I may have gotten
belligerent. When did you turn into an alcoholic? Yeah, exactly. It was that flight.
This was the traumatic episode that changed my life. I probably would have gotten belligerent, though. So then it would have been game over.
And then you would have gone viral for a whole different reason. No, but at least this didn't happen on your 16-hour flight. Because that would have been truly miserable.
Oh, my gosh.
I did sit next to a nightmare. A very thin couple on my flight to Australia. I thanked the flying gods that these people go to the gym. I was like,
exactly.
Well, what's next for you? Do you have any other panels coming up?
No, I think I need to take a break.
You paneled out.
Yeah. What I really want to put together, though, and I did say this because I make videos about all these incidences just because my audience then gets an insight into what actually was happening. And I did say in the video I made about the Vice thing, I would love to actually talk to some feminists that are not crazy, because I know that there are not crazy feminists out there. A couple people reached out and said I'd actually happily do a panel. And I thought, cool, let's actually put something together that's valuable rather than just shrieking. I don't know. So no panels coming up for me. I just really, I just need a break actually from craziness and crazy people. I want to focus this year on some female outreach. So doing some things that relate to getting women away from that side of the aisle and perhaps towards the center or even the right wing. Because I think, I don't know if you ladies agree with this, but something that does bother me about the space that we're in is that I feel like a lot of women get alienated. And it's largely just because, yes, there's a lot of humor that goes on that I think you have to have a really specific bent to appreciate that come from some of our male commentators. And that's fine. That's humor. It is what it is. But there's some like legitimately not great opinions I think they get espoused relating to women. And I think women are awesome. I don't like that they think the way that they think about society and about being a woman and all this type of thing. And I'd like them to feel a lot more comfortable maybe seeing things from our vantage point a little bit. So that's kind of what I want to do this year, but no more panels.
I think nice. That's great. Yeah. It's like we've always said, because we've sort of been I always say that we're the, we're kind of like the island of misfit toys. Yeah, when it comes to conservatism. For 14 years we've been doing this and we've never really felt like we fit in, Sydney. So I hear you on that. I think it's and perhaps that's because we're women. I don't know. Maybe it's not because, but that may be one of the reasons.
Yeah.
And so I get that. I hear what you're saying. I really do.
Yeah, especially
and
if
so
you
I think that's brilliant what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially if you have some opinions that don't necessarily fit in with the status quo. Mm-hmm. Because again, the tribalism is just, it's annoying. It's just frankly annoying. Right. And right. Once again, this is another interesting thing that, again, I'm sure that you find this too. If you take leave of the, say, traditional conservative or right wing or whatever talking points, you always get accused of being a feminist. And I just think, no, you don't have to be a feminist and subscribe to third wave feminism to believe mm-hmm. that, you know, women are valuable and awesome and that they contribute so much to society. But also, and something that I'm realizing, and it's so funny because I think a lot of my girlfriends and I are having these moments like one after the other. We're all kind of like having these moments together where like women operate differently to men. Like, I'm sorry, we just do.
And that's okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is okay.
Maybe some stuff should be structured around that. I don't know.
Right, right. And sometimes it's not even what you say, but the way that you say
it. Yeah, precisely.
That's off-putting to some right-wing people.
Yes.
And they're very uncomfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And so, and especially coming from, you know, like, you're a woman, you're supposed to act a certain way or be a certain way. Even of a certain age, mm-hmm. you're supposed to be a certain way. And we're like, yeah, we're not that way.
Yeah.
Sorry. Not sorry. Yeah. So I hear you. Totally hear you on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sydney was so fun to talk to. She's extra burst of like energy that you need in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. She's like a firecracker.
She's like a cup of Joe. She's like a cup of bone frog. She's almost like getting boned. Almost.
Only I mean, there's nothing exactly like getting boned.
No, I mean, it's like, it's just almost. She's almost like that. And we know a lot about getting boned, you and I.
That's right. And that is because mm-hmm. we are huge, huge fans of Bone Frog Coffee, bonefrogcoffee.com. And they have just introduced two new roasts. It's already, everything that they do is delicious, but now they have two new roasts.
I'm super excited about these. One is the Zen Frog Decaf, which I'm really stoked about because I am not supposed to have caffeinated coffee. I drink it anyway because you know me, I am a rabble rouser. I am. But my husband doesn't drink caffeine at all. And so he's super excited to try this, the Zen Frog Decaf. And you know, it's awesome. It's so, so good. And then there's the Door Kicker, which has extra super awesome, double special caffeine in it. Which,
so much caffeine.
That's what I really like. Because it has all the caffeine, which is what I really, mama, like. So that is something that you guys should definitely check out. So if you're really into caffeine, try the Door Kicker. Mm-hmm. If you don't want caffeine, they have the Zen Frog Decaf. And then they also have their regular roasts, which are amazing. I mean, their coffee is the best on the planet. I'm not lying. I'm a snob. I'm telling you, it's
no,
the best.
It's true. And you, it, whether you do the K-cups or you do the regular roast mm-hmm. or however you like your coffee, they've got you covered. And you can save 5% if you get a Bone Frog Coffee subscription from bonefrogcoffee.com. And then just in the little drop down that asks how you heard about them, just say Chicks on the Right. They're going to make sure that you get your 5% discount on any subscription order, bonefrogcoffee.com.
Do it.
Well, Sydney, tell our audience the best places that they can find and follow you.
Well, if you want to be offended perpetually, I'm on Twitter. that's where I let my bitchiness just come alive and do its thing. But Sydney L. Watson on Twitter, if you want to hear mean takes, and if you want to hear the thought out nice ones, YouTube at Sydney Watson. Although I'm trying again, I'm sure you ladies can relate to this. This year, one of my biggest things is to basically move into the cultural space, a little bit away from the political space, because I just feel like covering, there's so many other topics and other things. So I'm moving into I've just started a gaming channel. I don't know if your audience is interested in stuff like that, but talking about the more cultural things rather than the political stuff. Cause my channel covers
really cool.
So much yeah. doom and gloom, so much doom and gloom. So
oh, yeah.
if you yes. like the doom and gloom, then I'm here for it. That's where I am. Sydney Watson.
That's fantastic. Good for you. Good for you.
Well, it's been great to get the inside scoop about the panel and about the flight. Cause that's what we were really hoping to find out about. And it's been so fun to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. We really appreciate you being on the show with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Great,
this has been a lot of fun. Definitely.
Yeah, super fun. Great to meet you, and we hope to talk to you very soon in the future.
Awesome.
Thanks, Sydney.
Thank you.